moments in our lives that come and they're unexpected. They're a shock. They're a surprise. And many times, whether that unexpected moment is something that was bad, or maybe even sometimes when it was something that was good, we just kind of feel ill-equipped to handle it. We have so many questions. We feel so inadequate, overwhelmed, confused, curious. We wonder sometimes whether God really knows what he's doing or not. We're trying to adjust to this new reality that this unexpected event has brought us and all of the things that it brings, and our mind immediately starts racing to all the ramifications and possible permutations of all the things that could happen and might happen now that this unexpected event has occurred. But now put yourself in the place of a young, unwed teenage girl from Nazareth. And you just get news that you'll be having a baby out of wedlock while you're engaged, and this baby is going to be the Son of God. Talk about feeling like you are in over your head. Talk about feeling inadequate and unprepared. You want to talk about deep, difficult questions and feeling ill-equipped? This young girl is going to give birth to the Messiah. Talk about the unexpected. And the news comes to her from the angel Gabriel, the same one who brought the news to Zechariah last week. So last week, Zechariah visits a barren couple who are too old to have children and tell them that they are going to have a son. And this week he comes to a poor young virgin girl in Nazareth to tell her that she is going to have a son. Both women not expecting to be expecting. For different reasons, but legitimate ones. Luke tells us how this unfolds in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, in case you didn't know, I am not an angel. Surprise. But if I was, and again, I'm glad I wasn't, because if I was and God sent me to deliver this message to this girl, this is how I would have responded. You want me to go where? Nazareth? To who? To that poor virgin girl? That's the plan. This is where and how and when the Son of God will become flesh and dwell among them. You see, because when Jesus, when he was a man, when he first called his disciples, Philip ran to Nathanael and said, I think I have found the Messiah. We've met him. Come and look. And here's the exchange that they have. This is found in John 1, 45 and 46. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. See, everybody knew nothing good can ever come from Nazareth. So if I'm the angel Gabriel and God has sent me to go deliver this message there, I'm thinking, God, are you sure your GPS isn't a little off at this point? But I'm not Gabriel, thankfully. And so Gabriel goes and delivers the message. Because God can do anything. He can bring good from places where people would least expect it. Nothing good could ever come from my family. Nothing good ever comes from my town. Nothing good could ever come from someone with my background, my history. Nothing good could ever come from those people. Nothing good could ever come from someone with that background and that history. But you're dead wrong. The mother of the Messiah came from Nazareth. And she was a poor virgin girl. God can do anything, anywhere, anytime, with anybody, redeem anything. God can bring good out of some of the most unlikely of places. So Gabriel goes to Nazareth, to Mary, a young girl who has no idea what's about to happen. Luke 1, 28 and 29. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now again, the greeting isn't that troubling in and of itself, right? "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." That's good news. But remember, she has absolutely no idea what is going on at this point. She has no idea why the angel is standing there in front of her. She has no idea what this greeting means. She has no idea why he is there or what he's talking about. So as you can imagine, even though it sounds like good news, she's a little startled. She's a little disturbed. It goes on to say this in Luke 1, 30 through 33. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne over his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end.'" Now let's break this down for a minute. You are an unwed teenage girl from Nazareth who is engaged to be married, and you are approached by an angel. And he tells you this: "You have found favor with God." Wow. "You will conceive." Well, that's cool, because I was getting married and I was kind of hoping that that might happen at some point. "And you're going to give birth to a son." Awesome. That'll be really good for Joseph and I. "And you were to name him Jesus." Fantastic. Now Joseph and I don't have to argue about names. I don't spend time surfing the net looking for boy names. Good. Done deal. Check. "And this child is going to be great." Whoa. Like what kind of great? "This child will be called the Son of the Most High." What? "He'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever." My kid? "And his kingdom will never end." That is a lot to swallow in one sitting. That's a lot to wrap your mind around. I'm going to have this boy? Like, imagine the questions, the confusion, the curiosity, the shock. What does this mean for me? This is going to be my boy? What does this mean for Joseph? What does this mean for us? What does this mean for our future? Where are we going to live? Like, what are we going to do? What do I have to do to raise a guy like this? Am I even equipped for this job? I'd have had a million questions. But Mary starts with probably the most obvious of all the questions. Luke 1:34. "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Her question isn't about him being the Son of the Most High, or the one who's going to sit on David's throne, or the one who's going to have a kingdom that never ends, or reign over Jacob's descendants. Her first question is very practical. Before we get to all the other stuff, how in the world is this even going to happen? "For I'm a virgin." The angel responds in verse 35. "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" I know right now the big thing is like these gender reveal videos and birth announcements, but this one takes the cake. Not just because of how it came down, like with an angel presenting it, which immediately trumps all of those videos, right? But because she gets the birth announcement and the gender reveal, like, at the same time. And she's the mom. She didn't even know she was going to be pregnant. She's finding out that she's going to be pregnant and that it's going to be a boy all in one shot. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will conceive a child miraculously. And this child is going to be called the Son of God. And in that one brief moment, man, Mary's world has flipped upside down. Everything she thought was going to go one way is now going a completely different way. And the questions come flooding back. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for Joseph? I mean, how's all this going to unfold? How do I do this? What's this mean for us? Like, what are we going to have to do? Where are we going to live? How do I raise a child like this? What is all of this going to change? Can I even do this job? Remember, Mary wasn't planning for this. She wasn't expecting this. She didn't ask for this. This comes clear out of nowhere. I mean, direct from God, but clear out of nowhere. She has no idea that this is coming. Little or no warning. Put yourself in Mary's shoes for a minute. How would you have responded? What would you have thought? Maybe a way to help you answer this question is, how is it that you typically respond when things in your life take an unexpected turn or twist, when your man-made plans are altered? When everything you thought was going to go one way, you thought was going to unfold one way, every way you planned it to go, now dramatically turns and goes a completely different direction. How is it that you respond? Whether those changes are good, whether those changes are bad, or somewhere in between. Because don't miss this. This is great news. This is good news of great joy for all people. But this is putting Mary in an incredibly difficult situation and potentially embarrassing one. Like, it's good news. It's the best news the world has ever had. But don't miss the point that this puts Mary in a really difficult spot. She is engaged, and now she's pregnant. That's not going to look good. Joseph is going to know the kid is not his. How's that going to fly? And the penalty for adultery is stoning. I mean, literally, her life could be at stake. So the news that the angel is bringing is good news. It's good news of great joy for all people, but it is indeed going to bring hardship to Mary. A lot of difficulty. Though the journey will be blessed, it is not going to be easy. It's great news, but with it comes unexpected difficulties that she did not sign up for. Life is not going to be what she thought it was going to be at all. She's going to go through some tremendous suffering as the mother of Jesus. She doesn't know this at the time. She can't possibly comprehend or conceive all that is yet to come. She doesn't at this moment understand and comprehend all that this means. She doesn't understand and conceive all that is yet to come. But her world has been completely flipped upside down at the unexpected news that she will give birth to Jesus. How does she respond in the midst of that uncertainty? How does she respond in this turn of most unexpected events? She says this in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. Total trust. Total obedience. Total surrender. She willingly and graciously just submits herself to God's plan. I'll be your servant. May it be to me as your word says. May it be as you've said. She just completely submits herself to the will of God. Not my will, my wants, my plans, my desires, but yours. I'm your servant. Whatever you want, whatever you need, may it be to me according to your word. May it be to me according to your will. She, in this moment, with all these questions, all these concerns, all this confusion, her whole life flipped before her, just graciously lays down her plan for God's. Total surrender. Willingly, like, lets go of her plan and then grabs a hold of God's plan for her life. Truth is, most of us, we go down fighting when it comes to God's plan or our plan. We don't readily accept the plans that God has for us. And we hold tight to our will, our plan, our desires, our wants. And instead of willingly just accepting God's plan for us, we fight against it. We try to forge our own path. We try to go our own way. And we end up fighting. And in the end, we end up with more struggle in our lives in the long run. But Mary, she responds with total commitment, total surrender, a willingness to sacrifice everything out of her love and devotion for God. Which sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? The child she's about to bring into the world. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he was facing the reality of the cross? Remember his prayer? Luke 22. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will be done, but yours. Your will, not mine. I'm your servant. May it be to me according to your word. May it be to me according to your will." You can already see in Mary the heart of the child that she is going to bring into the world. Total commitment and a willingness to sacrifice anything necessary to do the will of God out of love and devotion to the Father. Mary is willing to surrender everything, to submit her life to God's plan, no matter what it would cost her. Jesus is ready in this moment to surrender, to submit to God's plan, no matter what it would cost him. How about you? Are you willing to do the same? Even if it means that that will bring into your life difficulty, struggle, unforeseen moments. Let's take it a step further this morning. Not only are you willing to accept God's plan for you regardless of what it might bring into your life, but can you go a step further and say that you would be willing to rejoice in God's plan as Mary did, even if it's not what you were expecting, even if it wasn't a part of your plan? Because remember, it's a few days later where Mary goes to Elizabeth. And we find that Mary responds to God's plan, this plan that was going to bring her all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of struggle. We find that Mary responds to God's plan with rejoicing. Because just a few days later, she ends up at the home of Elizabeth. And as she gets to Elizabeth's home, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy at being in the presence of the child that is in Mary's womb. And it says Mary bursts out into song. She begins to sing the praises of God for the plan that God has put in motion. An unexpected plan, a plan that was going to be of great cost to her, a plan that was going to bring great difficulty, yet in the midst of it, she responds in song, and it's a joyful song, and it's a joyous song, and we've covered this song many different Christmases. We don't have time to go through the whole song itself today, but I wanted to highlight for you the themes of this song as put up here. As she sings this song, she's singing about God as the mighty one, the holy one, the merciful one, the powerful one, the faithful one, the great provider. And that's why she could respond as she did. That's why she could respond as, "I am your servant. May it be according to your will. May it be according to your word." Because she could surrender with total trust and total obedience because she knew that was the character of her God. That God was indeed mighty, that he was indeed holy, that he was indeed merciful and powerful and faithful, and that he would provide. And because she was assured that this is what her God was like, she could respond to God's movement in her life, even when it was unexpected, because she was basing her decisions and her actions not on what she was thinking and not on what she was seeing and not on what she was feeling, but what she knew about the character of God. And because of that, she could respond with, I'm your servant. May it just be to me according to your word. I trust you. I surrender to you, your plan, your will, your wants. She could trust him with his plans for her life, even when they didn't match her original ones, even when they were unexpected. Those plans were unexpected. Were they tough to deal with? Yes. Were they tough to understand? Yes. But she could move forward in complete trust and obedience because she was basing her actions on the character of God. God's plans for your life don't always match your plans. You probably don't need me here to tell you that. That's reality. Sometimes those plans are unexpected. And your choice in those moments is to hold tightly to your own or trust him and submit to his and rejoice in them. And when you do submit to his plan for you, you will find that God is able to do more in you and through you than you could possibly dream or imagine. Just ask a poor, young, virgin girl from Nazareth. Just ask Mary.